sometimes, but I think we get the impression. You know, that scripture has always stuck out to me ever since I learned that chorus as a kid. And those of us who have grown up know that any straw hut of a life can survive very, very well if the conditions are right. No wind, no storm, no rain, no hassle, no problems. Any life can stand secure like that. But you know as well as I do that life isn't like that. Life has its storms, and the rains do come down, and the floods do come up, and life gets awfully troublesome sometimes. And it's in those circumstances when we realize how much of a foundation we need, and sometimes how little of it we actually have. I want to ask you this morning, if you've ever been hit by a full force gale, if you've ever been hit by trouble or difficult circumstances, have you realized in that moment what your life is built on? How many of you, whether you're teenagers or whether you're adults, how many of you this morning are built on solid rock? And how many of you are not quite sure? Well, today we're going to begin a 10-week series called The Foundations of Our Faith. We're going to learn about how to be like that wise man and build our lives on solid rock so that regardless what life throws at us, we will not just stand, but we will be able to produce and be bountiful in our Christian lives. I want to suggest to you that this series may be one of the most significant series of significant teachings you'll ever have in your life, because it is rock solid foundation. And as you apply it in your life, I guarantee some special things will happen. Before we get into it, why don't we ask the Lord's blessing and then begin our study. Lord, that's more than just a simple, silly children's chorus. The words we sang and the words we read are so true. And we ask today that we will learn how to build our lives on solid rock so that we can be secure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of Michelangelo? Okay, how many of you have ever heard of Bonanno Pisano? Anybody? Some of you have, not as many. Bonanno Pisano was the guy who designed the famous, or rather infamous, Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, I know that if Bonanno Pisano could get out of his grave and come back to life, he'd want to jump right back in. Because you know what? He didn't design the tower to lean. He designed it to stand straight up. The problem was he put so much effort into designing the beautiful exterior originally. Now, I realize other architects added onto it. But he put so much effort into designing the original exterior and the beauty of the tower that he failed to prepare an adequate foundation. And so today, that big tower has a 17-foot lean to it. And engineers tell us that unless something very significant is, well, they've already been pouring millions of dollars to try and stop the lean. But some say that no matter how much work is done, the collapse of it is inevitable. Sooner or later, it's going to fall. I know many people's lives who are like that. We spend so much time and energy trying to repair the lean and the damage in our lives rather than taking time initially to lay down foundation. If we would just put down proper foundation, we would save ourselves unbelievable amount of time and hassle and money and energy and pain and sacrifice in making after-the-fact corrections. You ever felt like your heart or your life was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Perhaps on the outside, you look really good, even to your friends, maybe even to your family. But you know your heart, you know your life, and sometimes you feel like you're about to lean too far. There's an interior careening, perhaps a sense of crumbling, of disorientation, of something's out of balance. And deep down inside of you, there's this fear that someday there may be a coming crash. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's a rhetorical question, and the answer is nothing. If foundations are destroyed, you can't do a thing. Things crumble. Things fall apart like houses on the sand when the floods come. no foundations, things get carried away. Today, not just here in Mahdi, but all around the world, many people, many Christians, are very, very much struggling with marriage, family relationships, churches are falling apart, Christian teenagers are messing up royally in their lives because they have no power to resist peer pressure. Many adults have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. The church, which should be reshaping society, is often being reshaped by society. And in many cases, the church is powerless and sick and more a detriment to the cause of Christ than it is something positive. Why is this? It's because the foundations have been destroyed. Either that or like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, they were never properly placed in the first place. Either way, our lives, our churches, our families desperately need solid foundation. I want you to turn to a fascinating passage of Scripture, which we're going to be launching into and exegeting, studying for the next number of months. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll just do a preliminary introduction this morning, and then we'll jump into the actual foundation blocks, so to speak, in the coming weeks. But in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, to chapter 6, verse 3, we read these words. "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted about or with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Very quickly, notice with me the fact of their failure, of the people that Paul, or the author here, was writing to. He says, you folks are so slow to learn. You need to be taught over and over and over again. There's something wrong with you as God's people, as children of God. Something has failed. You're still drinking. He uses the imagery of a physical baby, and he says you're still sucking at your mother's breast. You're still nursing on milk when you should be way past the pablum stage. You should be eating solid food by now, but you can't digest it. Something has gone wrong in the process of maturation. Back home, we used to call them pablum Christians. Pablum is baby food. And many times we as Christians are pablum Christians or baby food Christians. We need somebody to be spoon-feeding us rather than getting on to the solid food of the Word and of spiritual truth. Another characteristic of their failure was that they were takers instead of givers. He said, by this time you ought to be teachers. You should be giving out. You should be passing on to other people. You should be investing. What's the difference? The major difference between an adult and a child is a child is dependent and needy, and an adult is supposed to be the one who is able to supply those needs for the child and to nurture and to pass on and to give. And he says, by now you ought to be mature, passing on, investing into the future generation spiritually, but you're still a little child asking, taking, drinking, eating, still insecure yourself. You're dry sponges instead of wet ones. God should be able to squeeze you and get all kinds of blessing for other people. Instead, you're soaking up all the life around you. The focus of their future was different, though. He says, by now you're supposed to be mature. Well, what's the difference there? Well, mature is someone who is able to understand and digest solid spiritual truths. Sometimes we think that the basics are solid, and we'll get to that in a minute. Paul is saying here, oh dear friends, there is so much more that God has in store for you. So much more insight, so much more truth, so much more stuff that will expand your life and enrich you. But we can't get to that yet because you haven't learned how to digest pablum. You're still on milk. I can't stuff a steak down your throat. You'll choke, you'll gag, you'll die. I want to do that. I want to give you the full blessings of God, but I can't pass it on because you haven't progressed to that stage. You ought to be teachers. You ought to be givers instead of takers. You ought to be those who are multiplying your life. You ever heard the basic illustration of what would happen if God's people were multipliers? You ever wondered why when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, why it's taken us over almost 2,000 years and we still haven't done it? Well, it's because we're not leading enough people to Christ, we say. Well, what if we could bring in an evangelist here and he could preach like Billy Graham and every Friday morning we'd have 1,000 people come to Christ? Wouldn't that be awesome? How many of you would like that to happen? What about the rest of you? That'd be wonderful. Well, let's say that we decided to conduct meetings all week. And every day we had meetings, and every day 1,000 people came to Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, let's say it was getting so good that we decided to have 2 meetings a day. And so we had a morning meeting and an evening meeting, and every meeting, every day of the week, 1,000 people came to Christ. How long would it take for us to win the world for Jesus Christ? How long? We'd never do it. Because that's not coming anywhere near the population explosion. But let me give you another scenario. If one person here this morning, just one, decided, Lord, I'm going to quit being a taker. I want to learn to be a giver. I want to be one of those people who grows to the place where you can use me to multiply myself in the life of somebody else. And I begin to pray for one individual, and it takes me an entire year of building friendship, of loving them, of winning them to Christ, of passing on to them the truth and the nurture that God has poured into my soul. An entire year! But at the end of the year, that one person has come to the place where they are at, where I'm at this morning, where they also want to be a giver instead of a taker. Where they also want to invest in the life of somebody else. And so that the next year they go out and find an individual and love them to Jesus Christ, pour their life into them, so that at the end of the year you've got 2 of you with that same desire. That's pretty slow church progress, isn't it? But you know what? If that progress continued, do you know how long it would take to win the entire world for Jesus Christ? Assuming there were no breaks in the chain. At the end of the first year, you'd have 2. At the end of the second year, you'd have 4. At the end of the third year, you'd have 8. At the end of the fifth year, you'd have 16. Pretty small return at the beginning. You know how long it would take to win the entire world for Jesus Christ, including the population explosion? 32 years. Go figure it out on your calculator. In 32 years, the entire population of the world could be reached to Jesus Christ. That's if God's people grew to maturity and became multipliers, became givers instead of takers. You see the significance of what Paul is dealing with here? By now you should be givers, you should be teachers, you should be multipliers. Oh, how I want you to be mature, Paul says, to grow up. That's where you're going. That's the focus of your future. But he says the problem is you don't have foundations properly laid. And that can't happen until the foundations are in place. He says, we need to teach you the elementary truths again. We need to go back to kindergarten. We need to go back to Christianity 101. How many of you have ever heard teaching on the laying on of hands? Go ahead, put your hands up. See how many don't have their hands up? Paul says, or the writer, I keep saying Paul in Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Maybe Paul did. The author here indicates that the laying on of hands is an elementary teaching. It's a foundational principle. And yet most Christians that I have met have never even heard of it, let alone studied or understood it. And Paul says, we're talking kindergarten. He says, instruction about baptisms. There's an S on the end. Do you understand the difference? What the scriptures talk about the various baptisms that are listed in the scripture? Oh, talk about confusion among God's people. He calls this elementary stuff. We can go on and on. Basically what he's saying, let's leave these elementary truths and get on to maturity. But you know what I find? You can't leave the elementary teachings unless you first of all know them. Unless they're first of all firmly laid. You can't build a superstructure until that foundation is in place. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take time during this next couple months. And week by week, we're going to take these doctrines that he lists here and go into the scriptures, discover them, place them into our lives, learn them, and lay them down as rock solid foundation. If you come over the next number of months, make it a priority. And if you listen to the truths, if you interact in the scriptures with me, if you learn about these and live out the truth that God is placing in our lives, I guarantee you, I don't usually put myself on the line like this, but I guarantee you that if you do that, you will begin to enter into new dimensions in your walk with Christ. You will begin to experience broader horizons and secrets of maturity in your ministry for Him that will downright excite you. This series could be the key to set you free, the rock to make you unshakable, the root below to bring the fruit above. It could be very revolutionary in your life. It wasn't mine. And if in considering what's coming, you know other people who also need rock-solid foundation in their lives, why don't you bring them out? It's going to be a good time together. It's just an introduction. We're not getting into it this morning. We'll start next week. But for this morning, why don't we remember and celebrate the cornerstone of our foundation, Jesus Christ Himself. And to begin that, as we move into our communion time, Sarah's going to come and lead us in a prayer. You know, she's going to sing it, but it's a prayer. I even invite you to close your eyes and let your spirit pray it as she sings it.